Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful consideration, I will direct you to Psalm 139 and the first two verses. Psalm 139, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Psalm 139 and the first two verses. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising, thou understandest my thought afar off. The dear psalmist here begins the psalm and closes the psalm with the same language. In the commencing, in our text, he looks back and he reminds the Lord how he has searched him in days past. Thou hast searched me. But then in the conclusion of the psalm, he prays for the Lord to search him. And you know, that is something that is very concerning to a real exercised child of God. Sometimes they fear to pray such things. And that is why we read together that 26th psalm, because the dear psalmist there, what does he say? Examine me, O God. And, you know, many times we tremble as we pray that. Because, you see, the Lord sees the inmost parts of our heart. But let us use a simple illustration in this, because when he said, examine me, O God, looking at it in a natural way, if you got an affliction upon you and you go to the doctors, and that may be some pain in some part of the intestines or part of the body, you wouldn't want the doctor just to look at your hand or just outwardly say, well, it is this or that. You'd want the doctor to examine you, wouldn't you? To get to the real cause of it. What this pain or discomfort may be. And that's why the psalmist prayed that. Because he wanted to be right in the sight of his God. You see, there's so much in us that's only flesh, isn't there? Or of our carnal minds. Or of the world. And when we look back at our godly forefathers, so many of them were so real in the vital things of God. And the reason they were was because they knew ever so much of the searchings of God. They were emptied from vessel to vessel. They were stripped of all that was of the flesh and of the carnal mind and all that natural religion there was in them. They stood the searching of God. Do you think how solemn When we come to die, if we've never been searched during our life, now, of course, the Lord is a sovereign. And here the dear psalmist says, O Lord, he's speaking to the God of heaven. He that holds his life in his hand. You see, our lives are dependent upon God. The Lord only has to withhold our breath and we are gone. Cause the heart to stop beating. And that is the end of our life here. And so, think how solemn to come to the hour of death and never been searched by a holy God. You know, David prayed a beautiful prayer, didn't he? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. But I want to look as help this morning at this searching. O Lord, thou hast searched me. We read in that 44th psalm a very parallel word, really, and it is this: shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart. And I want to look at this searching in a few ways. First of all, the Lord will search out his people from the world, no matter where they are. You say, in eternity past, the Lord chose a people. A people, he says in Isaiah, doesn't he, for this, concerning this people. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And he will search out where his dear people are. Just as he sought out Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road. He searched him out in two ways. He searched him out from all the natural religion that he was in. But he brought the dear apostle on that Damascus road to know the searching of God's heart, God in his heart. And what did he show the apostle as he searched him? What a poor, wretched sinner he was. All he deserved was hell and eternal banishment because of his sin. We read in the prophecy of Ezekiel in that 34th chapter, and you can read it through at your leisure. It's a searching chapter, but it's a beautiful chapter, really, because he's speaking of his sheep. The Lord's dear children are so often spoken of in the Word of God as the sheep of Christ's fold. And he says here, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. And he will search them wherever they be to find them. It's like, the Lord Jesus used the illustration, didn't he? of the shepherd, and he had a flock of 100 sheep, and one of them was lost. And he leaves the 99 and goes to search that one out, wherever it may be, that was lost. And he couldn't rest until he searched it out and found it, and carries it back to the fold. And you think about it spiritually. This is what the Lord would do. It would be a wonderful thing in this dark and solemn day in which we live, won't we? To see many sheep searched out by God. One of a city and two of a family. And he says, and I will bring them to Zion. And he knows exactly where they are. They may be on the seafront at Eastbourne today. They may be in the busy streets of London. They may be at the backside of the desert. They may be in one of the most extreme places of Russia. But he will search out his sheep. And just as that sheep has to be brought into the fold of God that is lost, he searched that out and found it. Can you look in your heart where the Lord has searched you out and found you and found me? What are we singing the hymn? Jesus sought me. When a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, sought to save my soul from danger, interpose his precious blood. Some can look back, you see, to those days, and David could in the psalm, couldn't he? O Lord, thou hast searched me. And known. But then, there's another type of searching I want to look at, where the Lord searches our hearts. And he will see what there is within us. We think of so many in the Word of God where the Lord searched them and searched the inmost recesses of their heart. You think of what Job said. Behold, I am vile. How did he know that? Because the Lord had so searched his heart and shown him what vileness there was within him. Think of dear David himself, the author of this psalm, how the Lord searched him when he'd fallen in open sin and brought the dear man to the point where Nathan said to him, thou art the man. And you know that word searched David through and through, it did. You see, this soul that's really set forth in our text is one that the Lord loves, and this is why he searches them. Because he will have them to seek him with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their very being. The old preacher used to say, you have all the heart or nothing. That's very searching, that word is, you know. But do you know what it is when he searched you? Well, think of the Apostle Paul. What did he say in Romans 7? As the Lord searched him, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, how the dear apostle knew that searching. And really, we live in a day where very few like being searched. You know, really, you think of if there's been a break-in in a shop or something like that, and the police are called and they want to search everybody that's in that shop to see who the culprit is that has stolen whatever. Those that are innocent won't mind being searched because they've got nothing to hide. They won't mind the searching. But those that are guilty will immediately try and hide away from being searched. And that's how man is by nature. Oh yes. Oh Lord, thou hast searched me. Well, let's bring it right home to us each here. When was the last time you were searched? I mean by the Lord, I don't mean by the police force or anything like that, but you think when the Lord has searched you. Now the Lord has means of searching his people. This word seemed to so rest upon me during the last couple of days. Oh Lord, thou hast searched me. And you see, the Lord, as I said earlier, is a sovereign. We're all poor, fallen sinners. And you may tremble, as I said earlier, how we shall stand when the Lord searches us. Well, what does he use to search his people? Well, he's not bound to any means. He can use whatever means he pleases to search his people. And he's a sovereign in it. Sometimes he will bring us into severe affliction to search us. You know, no affliction comes by chance. Oh no. With the Lord's dear chosen children, he sometimes uses an affliction to search their inmost being, their very soul. And how many times when we're really afflicted under the afflicting hand of God, whatever that affliction may be, and we fear before him, and under that searching, Lord, are we real? Are we one of thy children? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? Do you know what it is to lay in a bed of affliction and be under the searching hand of the Lord? Thou hast searched me. And you see, he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. I remember back in 1980, it was during the end of July this month, or may have been the beginning of August, and I lay in bed with a raging temperature of over 104 for 2 weeks. And before me was my sister's wedding. I was supposed to take it at Staplehurst. And I lay there, and you know, it was a very searching time. Do you know, I wondered whether I was right in my soul. I felt that ill. I wonder whether I was right in the ministry. I was wonder whether I was right in the pastorate. And I wonder whether I was right in being asked to take the wedding. And you know, I lay there searched before a holy God. And I remember the Lord seemed to hide his face. And you know, when the Lord hides his face and you can't feel his sweet presence and you feel at the ends of the earth, it's a searching place. And you know, suddenly these words dropped into one's mind, and what a question it was. Is this, dear Lord, the thorny road which leads us to the Mount of God? Are these the toils thy people know while in this wilderness below? And you know, those words, that question, you see, under the searching of God, it created this question within one's poor heart. And I begged of the Lord that he would show me in the hymn book where it was, and I picked the hymn book up and I opened it and read that. It's the next to last verse of 289. And I read the following verse after I'd read that verse through, and there was the answer. 'Tis even so, thy faithful love does all thy children's graces prove. 'Tis thus our pride and self must fall, that Jesus may be all in all. And you know, I shall never forget it. It was so sweet. As soon as I read that last verse, the Lord came. And he showed me, you see, in that, two things really. First of all, does all thy children's graces prove? And if you've got a particle of real grace, poor soul, that's got to be proved. And God will prove it. Oh yes. You can have something that looks like gold, but it may be fool's gold. Not real, you see. You take it to the goldsmith whose discernment is good, and if he wants to prove how real it is, what will he do? He'll put it in the fire furnace, in the fire. If it's real gold, it'll shine the brighter through the fire. If you've got a particle of real grace, poor soul, when the Lord appears and shines in your poor heart, though the way may be searching, it'll shine brighter through the fire. That's the first thing. The second was this, what we got to be stripped of. 'Tis thus our pride and self must fall. You see, we've got to be emptied of all our pride. Natural pride, spiritual pride. It must all go. And self must go. You know, it's so easy in things for self to rise, isn't it? But it must all go. And in the searching hand of God, he will do it, you say. Thou hast searched me. But then the final blessing in it all. Why do you have to go through all this searching? that Jesus may be all in all. And if he's the all in all to you, poor soul, you're about to praise and bless his holy name. He's brought you through this affliction to search you, that Christ might be first and Christ be last and Christ be all in all. O Lord, thou hast searched me. Could you say that this morning? And then he bring you into things in providence that are searching places. You think of dear old Jacob, the family troubles that he had, the trials in providence. There were some searching places, you know. Well, let me use two illustrations. Firstly, look at the famine they had to come into. You think of many in Africa and other places of the earth today where they're starving through famine. And when you come into such a place, it's a searching place, you know. And dear old Jacob came there, because there had been no rain upon the earth. The parched ground, the harvest was virtually nil. It was a searching place. But then you think of the dear man when they came to take away Benjamin from him. All these things are against me. And you know, when you come into a place where all these things are against you, whether it's in providence or in your pathway or in the family, it's a searching place. Oh, it is. And he so often brings us into these searching places to cause us to cry unto him for help, doesn't he? Go to the Lord, you see. Take everything to God in prayer. Thou hast searched me. And some of you could name this morning those places the Lord has brought you in, the very searching. But let's look at one or two cases in the Word of God. Well, my mind firstly goes to Hezekiah. You see, there is this solemn searching point that we must press home. The Lord sometimes searches his people by his word. Oh, he does. I thought when the text dropped in, and immediately, I don't know how most of the servants of God are, but so often when the Lord gives me a text, I immediately look in my heart and I say, Lord, what do I know of it? Because really we should preach that we've tasted, handled and felt. And you know, immediately this text dropped in, my mind went to Pick Hill Chapel many years ago now. It must be 1962, 63. I remember going there to hear the late Mr. Mulvey preach. And you know, when he announced his text, I just trembled. And it was this: where the wicked cease from troubling, there the weary shall be at rest. And knowing how searching his ministry was, with such a text as that, I trembled because I feared that he cut me off. Do you know what it is to pick the Word of God up, the Holy Bible, sometimes when you've been in trouble or in maybe everything going well with you, and you've opened it and the Word has searched you? Oh, it has. You know, if you look in the Holy Writ, there's some very searching words that search the child of God. They have to say, Lord, am I real? Am I right? Am I in the narrow way? Hast thou begun thy work in me? And what does this do in the real child of God? Well, if I know anything of it at all, it'll do this. It'll stir up such an exercise in you to be right before the Lord. The Lord will have his dear children completely, totally, utterly dependent upon him. And he'll take away all the props. Oh, he will. It's easy for us to lean on this or lean on that or something else. And so what does he do? He searches his dear children. And he weans them of all these props. Well, look at Hezekiah. He was in a searching place, wasn't he? Affliction upon him. Under the threat of the Assyrian army out to destroy him and Jerusalem. Not only that, the Lord spoke, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That's a searching word, you know. I may have said, told you before, but I remember going to one of our chapels one Lord's Day evening and preaching from that word, you know. I trembled when I went with it. Thou shalt die and not live. And I felt helped in preaching from it. At the close of the service, the deacon, he said to me, whenever you come, you bring a searching word with you. And in some ways, he said it in quite a rebellious spirit. But you know, within 2 weeks, that man was in eternity. Thou shalt die and not live. He had a massive heart attack and was taken. You know, I've never forgot it. Thou shalt die and not live. And you think of dear Hezekiah, the city surrounded by the Assyrian army, affliction upon him, and then the Lord said, thou shalt die and not live. It searched the dear man, didn't it? And how he had to wrestle with the Lord and plead with the Lord. And as I've said many times before, you know, that prayer that's in the song of his deliverance is a beautiful prayer. It's so real to me. And out of this searching, what does he say? Oh, Lord, I am oppressed. He didn't say, well, I'll be oppressed next week or I could be in the future. I am oppressed. He was in it, you see. Oh, he was. Are there those of you this morning? And it's a searching place when we're oppressed, you know. I remember your late beloved pastor on one occasion when I was in much oppression coming into this sanctuary one Lord's Day evening. And I was at the point of a nervous breakdown and under ever so much medication from the doctors. And I was at the ends of the earth feeling so. And he preached from those words, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. And he spoke that night, you know, of dear Hezekiah. Oh Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. And the dear man, I shall never forget how he leaned over this pulpit. And he said, friend, what does it mean? And he said, it means this. The pressure is on. That's what it means. And you think about it in the reality with Hezekiah, that's exactly what was happening. The pressure was on. And it may be there's one here why the Lord's given me this word. You feel under the pressure of man and under the oppression of Satan, under the oppression of your own deceitful heart. The pressure's on. Oh Lord, I am oppressed. But he didn't leave it there, did he? And there's the reality in the prayer. Undertake for me. In other words, no man can help me, but the Lord alone can. Undertake for me. If you undertake to do something for somebody, you undertake to do everything, you see. And this is what the Lord does. He undertakes to do it all. And he did for Hezekiah, didn't he? He sent the prophet back with that beautiful word, go and say unto Hezekiah, I am the God of David thy father. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I will add unto thy days 15 years and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city. And this is what the Lord was to do, you see. Oh, he was. And oh, how humbled Hezekiah was in it all, wasn't he? Oh Lord, thou hast searched me. Thou hast searched me. Maybe something with you young people, something comes and it searches you. It may be, I heard of it only yesterday, near young man, you see, he took all these exams and studied for ever so many years in to do well in a certain profession. And now he's failed the final exam. And it's a searching time for the lad. And oh, his dear father, he said to me, you know, it's really searched us. And you think of it, you say, the Lord causes these things to come. Oh, he does. Sometimes to search his children, thou hast searched me. He could speak it from experience, David could, couldn't he? When you think of, and many think that this psalm was penned when all the trouble he had with his son Absalom. And how the Lord searched David in it all, he did. Thou hast searched me. You see, in Jeremiah 17, and we read this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You see, the Lord searches his children, that he might be glorified, their souls be profited. And I'll tell you something, poor soul, and it's this. It's these characters that you establish in the truth. You make them steadfast. You make them unmovable. I remember one of the old deacons saying to me in my early days in the ministry, you had a young minister to preach to them, and you know, those old deacons in those early days, they were real characters. And I said to him, how did you get on with this young minister? He said, well, let's put it like this. He'll be all right when he's been through the mill a few times. In other words, he's got to be searched and proved, you see, by the Lord. And he said, then he'll be all right. And you see, the natural man in religion would think, oh, well, I can study this, I can study that, I can make myself a good preacher. You see, the best preachers have been those the Lord has searched. They've been through the fire. You think of dear Daniel and in the house searching that was when he knew the writing was signed. But what did he do? Turned his face toward Jerusalem and prayed unto his God as he did aforetime. And you look as he goes into that lion's den, a searching place. You know. How would you feel? How would I? And you know, some of the places the Lord brings his dear people, they tremble in it. It's so searching. So he says here, thou hast searched me. Thou hast searched me. Well, just before I close, this searching, you know, will not do the child of God any harm. Oh no. It may dent their pride. It may bring them ever so low. But it'll be for their soul's edification and for their soul's teaching. But above all this, it'll be for the honour and glory of their God, so they can praise and bless his holy name. You think of Hezekiah, the song of deliverance that he sounded forth. The living, I love those words. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. He could truly praise and bless his God, couldn't he? So could Daniel when the Lord brought him out. You see, you won't always be in this searching. You bring the soul into a wealthy place that they can praise and bless his name for even the darkest hours they've been in. Oh, yeah. And there are many other precious characters you could name in Holy Scripture that were searched, but the Lord brought them forth as gold. Well, I've scratched around the surface. May the Holy Spirit apply the word. Amen.